Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus, the name above every other name. In Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Oh.
upon which to build our lives. Bless you and praise you this morning, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here in this place today as we gather in your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you are doing, accomplishing in our hearts today as you draw us close to you, Lord. Thank you for your love, O Lord. We bless your name. We praise you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to gather as your people, to worship you from our hearts and spirit and in truth today, to experience once again the refreshing that comes from being with your people in your presence, Lord. Thank you for the body of Christ gathered here, for every person in this room today, Lord. Thank you that you love every person here today. You have a plan for us today, Lord. You long to draw us closer to you and build us stronger in you, to strengthen our lives, O Lord, to use us for your purposes and your glory, to heal us and make us whole, O Lord. So, Father, we pray that you would just accomplish that purpose within us right now as we open up our hearts to you, Lord, as we say to you, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives today. Have your way in our lives today. We open up our hearts to you, Lord. Pray that you would work within us, oh God. Every one of us here today, Lord, we need something from you, Lord. We declare our dependence upon you, our humility before you today, Lord, our need of you. So we pray, Father, you would help us this morning. Lord, guide us by your Spirit today as we continue to worship you. Help us as we look into your word today and as we pray together. We ask, Lord, that if there's anybody here who just really needs a miracle, Lord, may they just really experience your touch today while we're here in this place. May we leave changed today as a result of your work in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Would you take a moment just to look around you and just greet one another before you're seated? Welcome one another to the house of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you may be seated this morning. This week, the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. Let me speak to that for just a moment. Roe versus Wade was that Supreme Court decision in 1973 that legalized the practice of abortion in America, actually declared that the United States Constitution provided a right for everyone to have access to abortion. For 50 years, true Christians and pro-life advocates have worked toward the overturning of Roe versus Wade, while at the same time establishing missions and ministries to promote life and to help mothers at risk of abortion choose to have their babies and provide resources to help them along the way. Christians are not just no people. Are you here?
Yes.
Christians are yes people. The love of God reaches to help us. Go to heaven, amen.
Amen.
And this week, in answer to decades of prayer and spiritual work, Roe versus Wade was overturned. Missouri became, because of a trigger law already in place, became the first state in the nation on Friday to declare abortion illegal, except in very rare and specific cases. In response to these events, I want to make the following declarations on behalf of our church family today. As Bible Christians, we believe God is the creator of all life. We believe God has created human life in his own image. We believe life begins at the moment of conception, and from that moment, life begins to grow. We believe a baby in the womb is a human person alive by the empowerment of God. We believe life in the womb is precious to God and loved by God. We believe the killing of life in the womb is a direct violation of the laws of God, thou shalt not kill. God said to Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb. Job said to God, you formed me in my mother's womb. David said to God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And the New Testament tells us that John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb, a miracle. Based on those biblical convictions, we make the following declarations this morning. One, we oppose and abhor the practice of abortion. We oppose the legalization of abortion. We oppose the term pro-choice because it softens the stance that should be called pro-abortion. We declare that abortion is the killing of a real person, the criminal killing of an innocent human life. And we declare that just because a cruel criminal act is legal in America, that doesn't make it right. Many things are legal, they are still sin. We also declare that those who have been involved in the sin of abortion can be forgiven. That Jesus died for all of us sinners, that we might be forgiven fully and finally. And that God's grace is enough to bring healing and recovery and restoration to those who have been victim to the devil's influence. So we declare today that life in the womb is sacred. We declare the sanctity of life. We plead in the name of God with every expectant mother and father, let the children live. We plead with our legislators and our leaders, let the children live. We plead with every medical professional in our nation, do no harm and let the children live. And we urge every Christian believer to pray and preach and participate, to support pro-life causes and agendas and ministries and legislation and leaders, and ultimately to invade our world with the love and the grace and the truth of Almighty God, the God who is pro-life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And on this very volatile weekend, we pray for God's peace to prevail across our nation, for God to help us and to bring calm and peace. And ultimately, our desire is that no one perish. God's desire is that no one perish, but that all should come to repentance and to the knowledge of God's grace and forgiveness and be saved. And we're praying that America would experience a great revival of genuine salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we welcome you today. I am going to be preaching along some different lines this morning, but I wanted to take a moment to address that critical matter that has been at the forefront of the attention of our nation over these last few days. We thank you for being in the house of the Lord on this rainy Sunday morning. We need the rain, don't we? We need the rain on our land, and we need the rain of the Spirit. We welcome the rain today. That's a gift from God. Jesus said, God our Father causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Some people have misinterpreted that verse as some kind of a verse about judgment, but that's a verse about the gracious provision of God. Rain in the Bible was a blessing. Yeah. And so God sends his rain. We thank the Lord for the rain today, and we thank the Lord for the working of his Holy Spirit as well. We want to say a word of welcome to those who might be here for the first time visiting. We're just about to get our new visitor welcome center up and running in the foyer, but today feel free to stop by and visit with me or any of our pastors who are here today, and we would love to make you feel welcome. We also want to thank you, congregation, for your faithfulness in giving to the work of the Lord here at First Assembly, and we pray the Lord continues to bless you abundantly, even in difficult times. The Lord is our provider. Would you say amen? Amen. All right. Can we stand together one more time, please? And let's sing to the Lord as we prepare for the preaching of the word today.
promising shall all pass away, and no more tears. And one day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved, and every anxious thought.
So that song says, onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated, everyone. And what a powerful old song of our faith this morning. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That was the last song I had the privilege of singing with my dear mom in the nursing home before she went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago around Christmas time. And I am looking forward to heaven for a lot of reasons. I'm looking forward, first and foremost, I'm looking forward to being with Jesus, my Savior. I'm looking forward to a day when as the song said, all troubles are over and all tears are wiped away. Amen. This world is full of difficulty and struggle and pain, but thank God for the hope that we have up ahead of us. Heaven is ahead, and we're looking forward as the people of God. Will you meet me there? Yes, will you meet me there? Let's plan to be in heaven together someday. I'll tell you, the ticket is Jesus. Isn't that right? If you want to go to heaven, the ticket is Jesus. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will certainly not cast away. Come, welcome. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. And I will bring you into the promise of eternal life. And how grateful we are for Jesus today and the precious gift of life that we have in him. We're looking to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17 this morning as we begin our scripture reading together. Our title this morning, Peace Like a River. Peace Like a River. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. This has been another turbulent week in our nation and in our world. Russia's war against Ukraine continues to drone on. Runaway inflation is out of control here in America as gas prices and grocery prices hit all-time highs. The Federal Reserve announced last week raises in the interest rates, and the nation is bracing for a potential recession. Political storms have hit the country again with divisive hearings being broadcast from the Congress, and now people marching in the streets, believe it or not, to defend the right to kill our unborn babies. And we could go on and on this morning. This is a troubled world in which we live. And these are troubled days indeed. Days of chaos and confusion and stress and strife. And we need the Lord. We need the Lord. The prophet Isaiah prophesied during days of trouble for his nation as well. The kingdoms of Judah and Israel were under constant threat of invasion by enemy kings and enemy armies. And many of the people of God had given way to idolatry and had backslidden away from the Lord, and disaster was looming on the horizon. That's where we find Isaiah 48, verses 17 and 18, our scripture this morning. Isaiah is prophesying to a nation who had known God but had turned away from God, many of them at least. And in the midst of their chaos and confusion, where there seemed to be no peace anywhere to be found, Isaiah brings this word to the people. If only you had paid attention to my commands. This is a prophetic I told you so. As Isaiah says, if only you had listened to the Lord's commands, your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Peace like a river. When I was growing up as a kid in church, we sang a little song based on that scripture. Some of you would remember it. I've got peace like a river, peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And the second verse said, I've got joy like a fountain. The third verse said, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. When we think about peace like a river, we think about a river that washes out all the worries and the fears and the stresses. It clears our minds and refreshes us with a rest that can only come from the Lord. Peace like a river brings clarity and calm and confidence. And it is Bible peace, dear friends, is a peace from God that surpasses ordinary human understanding. In other words, in just the seasons where in the natural you would experience no peace, that's when the peace of God comes flooding into your life like a river, so that you experience a supernatural flow of God's sustaining, calming peace into your soul and into your life. I hope that many of you here in the room this morning have experienced the provision of God's peace in your life. If not, I urge you this morning to take advantage of the promise of God and plug into the source of God's peace. That is His presence and His word, His promises and His life, so that you too can experience what it is to have peace even in the midst of the storm. That kind of peace is one of the treasures that belongs to us as the children of God. So I want you to look with me this morning for just a few moments at the outline as we consider what it means to experience peace like a river. And we begin by understanding and by declaring, and everybody knows it already, that we live in a world where there are ripples of panic everywhere, where troubles surround us, where the difficulties of life and the storminess of life could sap us from all of our peace and joy and the sense of the presence of the Lord. We could get our minds all tangled up in all of the stuff of this world, and peace could evaporate from our minds if we don't hang on to the Lord's provision. This is a stormy world. I pulled some verses from one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, a story that relates the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul as he's on his way to Rome. It was a fierce storm at sea, and the stages of that storm sort of speak to us about the storms of life and how life can get really difficult for us. We see in that storm that the unpredictable discombobulates us. When things come at us all of a sudden that we could not have predicted, it sort of throws us off balance and causes us to sort of, you know, brace up against something that we were not expecting. Acts 27:13 says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete, getting ready for a peaceful voyage. But before very long, a wind of hurricane, and you know, friends, let me just tell you, sometimes we think everything's going well, but sad to say, before very long. How many of you know we don't go untouched for very long seasons at a time? Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The unpredictable discombobulates us. Secondly, the unmanageable defies us. Because if you're like me, when some crisis arises, you want to stand up, jump up, put your hands up, and immediately take control of the situation. But have you ever been in the midst of a situation that was unmanageable, uncontrollable? You tried to get a hold of things, but you couldn't get a hold of things. I think of those in our city, in our community, because we live in All Hills here in Jefferson City. I think of the many people in our congregation who have had flooded basements over the years. How many of you have had a flooded basement at some point in the history of your home ownership in Jefferson City? Many of you have. You know what it's like when the water comes in. You see it coming. But what can you do? You pray, right? And the water rushes in, and when something is unmanageable, it defies our ability to take control of everything, helping us to understand that we just cannot do everything, right? And the unmanageable defies us. Thirdly, the unrelenting undesirables discourage and dishearten us. In other words, when trouble keeps coming and coming and coming and coming, it has a way of really discouraging us and getting us down. Sometimes we use the expression, when it rains, it pours. And for some of us, that has been the experience, one after another, and trouble keeps coming. Acts 27:18 says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Sometimes we just come to a place of real despondency and hopelessness in the midst of all of these struggles and storms of life. And fourthly, because of the storminess of this world, the unknowable disorients us. We just can't get a grip on which direction things are going. Verse 33, just before dawn, in the midst of that storm, Paul urged them all to eat and said, for the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Think about that expression. Constant expense. Constant suspense. How many of you know in this world, it's both constant suspense and expense? That may have been a Freudian slip, but maybe it was directed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Constant suspense, constant expense. And ultimately, sometimes we just don't know which way things are going to go. This is a stormy world. Sometimes I think of that old phrase Captain Kirk always used. Brace for impact. Many of you were already saying, beam me up, Scotty. And I would say that you probably have a better word than I had this morning. Beam us up, Lord. Yes. This is a stormy world. And the reality is, even in the midst of a world like this, this is a stubborn world. The Lord directs people toward peace, but people ignore the Lord many times. Listen to what Isaiah 48:17 says. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is what? What is best for you. And who directs you in the way you should go. The Lord says, what I'm telling you is for your own good. But the rebellious nature and the pride of humanity wants to resist God and go its own way. And even though the Lord's directions to us are for our own good, sometimes, you know, in our human nature, we say, I don't want to claim this for myself, but humanity says, no, I don't want to go God's way. I want to go my way. And as a result of that, life detours people away from peace. Isaiah 48:18, our verse for today says, if only you had paid attention to my commands, Your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Look up at me, everybody. Look up at me, everybody. Listen to this one word if you don't hear any other word in the service today. If you'll go God's way, things will be better for you. That doesn't mean you won't have troubles in this world. But I want to tell you, it's a whole lot better going God's way than going against God's way. And so the Lord has promised us that if we would turn to Him, we would experience His peace in our lives. Let's think about rivers of peace for a few minutes this morning. And we'll make two main statements. One, there is a Prince of Peace. What's His name? His name is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. We hear from the scriptures that Jesus paid the price for our peace. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the provisions He paid for was our peace. Now, the quality of peace has many dimensions. We understand that. The ultimate peace that Jesus paid for was peace with God. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but ultimately, peace with God brings a variety of other levels and categories of peace into our lives. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He paid for our peace, and Jesus prevails as the powerful Prince of Peace. That was prophesied about Him in Isaiah chapter 9. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will rest upon His shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Now, this prophecy about Jesus, sometimes we miss that last expression there in verse 7. But verse 7 says, of the increase of the government of Jesus and of the peace of Jesus, there will be no end. Now, ultimately, we know Jesus is coming one day. He's coming to rapture the church home. There will be 7 years of great tribulation, at the end of which Jesus will return to this world, Acts chapter 19, will establish His millennial kingdom here on this earth, and for 1,000 years, Jesus will reign as king at Jerusalem over the millennial kingdom that He has established, and it will be a kingdom of peace. Following that 1,000-year kingdom and the great white throne judgment, believers will follow Jesus into the new heavens and the new earth, where God's peace will rule and reign forever. Every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. Every trouble will be a thing of the past. Every sickness will have been defeated long ago. Every confusion will be gone. We will live in the joy and the gladness and the peace of God forever. Hallelujah. Of the increase of His peace, there will be no end. And I declare, you know, Jesus said on one occasion, the kingdom of God is within you. How many born-again Christian believers do we have in the house today? Lift your hand and say amen. If that's you, the kingdom of God is within you. And I just am bold enough to take this revelation about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and that His peace will be increasing. I just take that declaration and say, because the kingdom of God is within me, the peace of God should be increasing within me as I continue to grow in the Lord and trust the Lord. Could I have a better amen? So Jesus prevails as the powerful Prince of Peace. And we see it in Mark chapter 4 when Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it was completely calm. So this Prince of Peace, Jesus, He has promised us peace as well. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then in chapter 18 of John's gospel, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Even though there's trouble in the world, Jesus said, you, child of God, can have peace. Yep. So there is a Prince of Peace, and the scriptures provide for us a path to peace. Some principles by which we can take hold of the promise of God and experience the peace that God has made available to us as children of God. How many of you here today have ever experienced worry, fear, fretting? Huh? How many of you have ever experienced confusion, frustration? We all experience those things in life. And as those things come, we have the privilege of taking hold of the provisions of God. How many of you have ever experienced hunger? What did you do to satisfy that hunger? You ate a big donut. Huh? You ate a bowl of spaghetti, right? If you're hungry, how many of you know how to satisfy hunger? Sure you do. I can tell by looking. Most of you do. You can tell by looking at me. I know what to do when I'm hungry. It's not rocket science, is it? And so the scriptures provide us with some keys for receiving and taking hold of the peace of God in the midst of our struggles. Look at these keys on the outline today. Four simple words about achieving peace. The first key is to right your relationships. Get your relationships right. And obviously the first relationship that has to be right if you're going to experience peace with God is your relationship with God. Listen to what Isaiah 48:22 says. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. If you're going to want to live on in a sinful life, you're not going to experience the blessing of God's peace. No peace for the wicked. But Romans 5 verse 1 says, as believers who've taken hold of Jesus and followed Jesus, that since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus has made it possible for us to be in right relationship with God and therefore to be at peace with God. God. We were at one time enemies to God. But I saw the hands lifted just a few moments ago. Those of you who are trusting in Jesus as your Savior, you're not an enemy to God any longer. No, God loved you even while you were His enemy. But now that you have become a friend of God and a follower of Jesus Christ, you have moved from the status of setting yourself up in opposition to God. Now you have set yourself in agreement with God. Could I have an amen? Now you're in agreement with God. Now you have come into His family through Jesus. And now you are living in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the privilege of that is the privilege of being able to be at peace with God. Everybody say, God is not my enemy. God is my Father and my friend. And everything else I need because of Jesus and my trust in Him. Write your relationships. Secondly, when we think about writing our relationships, if we want to experience real peace, we're going to get our relationships with God right, and we're going to do our best to make our relationships with others right. Because, listen, the scripture says in Romans 12, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, and if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. All right. If you're a natural scrapper, then you're probably going to experience turbulence at all times in your life. If you're just a natural fighter, get rid of the fighting spirit when it comes to relationships with people, and just get the love of Jesus down in your heart. Get the love of Jesus down in your heart. Don't be a fighter, be a lover. And love people with the love of Jesus. Right your relationships. That will bring us to a place of experiencing peace in the Lord. The second main key to experiencing peace in the Lord from the scriptures is to fix your focus. Because many Christians, though they believe in Jesus and they trust God, their Father, in many ways, they continually focus on the wrong things. They get their eyes turned onto all of the troubles of this world, and when they are staring trouble in the face, they have trouble keeping within their view a view of God and His Word and His promises. They forget the promises of God as they're looking headlong into the troubles of life. And if we're going to experience God's peace, we've got to listen to the Lord, yes? We've got to look at the Lord and see who He is and who we are in Him. We've got to fix our focus in the Lord. Romans 8:6 says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And listen to Philippians 4. These are familiar words. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We've got to learn to train our minds to think about good things and God's things, so that we're not consumed with the bad news of the day. Are you here? Now, we live in the world. And how many of you know we have to function in the world? Okay? There are spiritual struggles and battles we have to fight in the world. We do spiritual warfare sometimes. We live in the world. We're not of the world, but we have to do business in the world. But ultimately, we have to be able to, as we even understand what's going on in the world, we have to keep our minds and our eyes and our hearts focused on the things of God. Colossians 3:1 says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Notice the double-edged instruction Paul gives to the Colossians. Number one, set your hearts on things above. Number two, set your minds on things above. We've got to follow. This is not just a redundancy here in Scripture. These are two levels of fixing our thoughts on heavenly things. When we've set our heart on something, what does that mean? It means we love that thing. If I set my heart on somebody, I love that somebody. If I set my heart on something, that is a love from my heart that attaches me to that thing. When I set my heart on things above, I am saying that I love the eternal things even more than I love the temporal things, the worldly things. I love God more than the junk of this world. Amen. Yep. And because of that, I've got to set my mind on those things too. I've got to think about those things. I've got to train myself through Bible reading, through prayer, through praise and worship, through singing songs, through the discussions that I have with other people. I have to train myself in all of the activities of my life to be thinking about and dwelling on the good things of God. Are you here? That takes discipline. It takes a lifestyle change, but it is possible as we allow the Holy Spirit to help us, we can train ourselves to keep our hearts and our minds on the good things of God and the eternal promises that Jesus has given us. I saw the congregation this morning as Heidi was leading that last song, When We All Get to Heaven, What a day of rejoicing. That how many of you in the house today, you believe there is a heaven that God has promised to his people? How many of you believe in heaven today? If you believe in heaven, I saw it in your hearts today, in your singing. When we began to sing that song, there was a joy and a gladness and a happiness, a peace and a sense of confidence that just seemed to come over the congregation as we realized that God has a whole lot of good things ahead of us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to do that. Psalm 119 says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts you. And the lesson of all lessons, Matthew 14:29, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. How many of you know that's a clear lesson? We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus if we're going to stay afloat. Yep. And the Lord has taught us we've got to fix our focus and get our attention on the Lord. Amen. Right your relationships. Fix your focus. Thirdly, this is a great key to encourage us and to experience the peace of God. We need to be encouraged by our experiences. Listen to what Matthew 16 says. Aware of their discussion. Because the disciples were saying, well, we didn't bring any bread along. Are we going to be in trouble? And aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you not understand? Don't you remember the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? Jesus said, boys, you're worried in this boat about not having any bread. And you've just been through two experiences of seeing me break a loaf of bread and multiply it to feed thousands. You've eaten from the multiplied loaves yourselves. And here you're worried about coming along and not having any bread. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, if I did all of these things for you in the past, don't worry, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. If I handled last month's storm, I can handle this week's storms. Yes? If I spared you and saved you and delivered you and strengthened you and restored you last time, I can do that again. In fact, I think the Lord would say to all of us today, if I've brought you thus far, I can bring you safely all the way home. And until it's time for the Lord, oh, this is what's comforting to me. Until it's time for the Lord to say to me, Lowell, I want you to come home to heaven to be with me. When that day happens, I will be of all people most glad to be in the presence of Jesus. How many of you are aware that when you get to heaven, it's going to be glorious? Yeah. And so I will say, thank you, Lord. But until that day, and one day the Lord will call me home in one way or another. But until that day, he's able to supply everything I need for me to experience his peace and his presence. That does not mean I won't face struggles. I may face struggles that I'm not even aware of today in my future. But the reality is God will be with me and he will be faithful and he is true to his word. Yeah. So be encouraged by your experiences. Who here today has a testimony of how God at some time or another supplied for you in the financial realm? Who has a testimony? God supplied some financial blessing or provision for you. Who has that kind of testimony? Somewhere back in the days of your life, God provided you for you financially. You know what? That means that whatever we face in the world today, the economy, the American economy, the American hominy, economy,
that means the American economy is not our source. Amen? And we're still praying, Heavenly Father, give me this day my daily bread. And we're still comforted by the reality that if the Heavenly Father feeds the sparrows, he will feed his children. And we're going to be supplied by the Lord, and we're going to make it through. We just trust the Lord day by day. Be encouraged by your experiences. And the fourth and final lesson this morning to experience the peace of God is to cast off your cares and throw them on the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. And some of you are saying, well, I am. I am. Well, don't. You know, the Lord says, fear not. And you say, well, I am afraid. Well, don't. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Give it over to the Lord, right? I've told you many times about that lady who met me at the back door years ago as I had closed the service and I had talked about being a prayer warrior. And she said at the back door, she said, Pastor Lowell, I can really relate to you. I have always been a prayer worrier too. I said, no, not a prayer worrier, a prayer warrior. Doing warfare in prayer. No, this doesn't say worry and pray, worry and pray, worry and pray, worry and... This says don't worry, pray. Give it over to the Lord. Present your request to God with thanksgiving. You know, that moves us right back to our previous point. I thank you, Lord, that the last time I experienced a financial need, you got me through that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would meet this present need. Isn't that right? I thank you, Lord, for that time you healed me and helped me through that situation. Now I need another healing, Lord. I give it over to you and trust you with it, right? Lord, last time our family situation had a crisis, you came in and you really helped us and brought us through that. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And now we're facing a new crisis. So, Lord, we're calling for you to come in and just do it again. Help us again, Lord, with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, who could forget this verse from the Apostle Peter? Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Isn't that good? Psalm 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will help you as you cast it all onto him. And as a closing verse for this message today, I pronounce this blessing upon you, congregation, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I call you this morning, dear friends. I call you out of confusion and worry and fear and fretting and chaos. I call you into the peace of God. Come on in, says the Lord, and experience the provision of peace that I have for you today. Can we stand together, please, across the room? I pray the Lord will give you peace like a river, dear friends. You know, one of the amazing blessings that we have as Christians. Let me ask, how many of you here today, you were once lost, but now you're saved through Jesus? Yeah. Okay. One of the great privileges we have in the forgiveness of the Lord is, you know, a reversal of the curse. And in many ways, the Lord, you know, the things that were once against us because of our being at odds with God. Now, because of our salvation experience, we can experience those things in their fullness. And the truth is, Isaiah preached to people who were in a lot of trouble because they had not listened to God. But even Isaiah's message to those people in his day was not, listen, his message was not, well, you missed it and there's no more chance for you. His message and God's message is, yeah, you've blown it, you've messed things up, but if you'll come on back to me, I'll give you fresh grace and fresh mercy for today. My mercies are new every morning, says the Lord. You say, well, I've done some things that are just going to rob me of the peace of God for the rest of my life. No! I rebuke that lie from the devil in the name of Jesus. Some of you say, oh, there are some things in my past, they're going to haunt me forever. No! I call that a lie in Jesus' name. God is able to bring deliverance from those things and fresh life to you. God loves you. And as a child of God whose sins have been forgiven, God wants you to experience the fullness of His blessings prescribed in His Word. So I don't care what you've done and where you've been in your past. The peace of God is held out before you today. By the promise, the grace, the mercy of God, you can take hold of it if you want to this morning. Let's ask right now, before we do anything else, is there anybody here today, you have not yet received Jesus into your life as your Savior? Or maybe at one time somewhere you accepted Jesus, but you haven't walked with Jesus in a long time, and you need to receive Jesus back into your life and give your life back to Jesus. Whatever the case, you'd say, I have not had a relationship with the Lord, and I need that, and I want that today. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my salvation to be secured in Jesus. I want eternal life up ahead of me, and I want the help of the Lord in this life. How many of you are like that today? I want to receive Jesus into my life today and be saved. Is there somebody like that across the room? I want to look across for a little while today. Is there anybody here? I want to receive Jesus into my life today. Anyone here? Just wave your hand up at me if that's you this morning. All right? Then I just declare over you this morning, friends. Those of you who are standing here today as blood-bought, grace-covered children of the living God, I declare that by your faith in Jesus today and your faithfulness to Jesus, that you are living in the favor of God and you are an heir to the promises of God. That means you have a right to experience God's peace today. So lift your hand right now toward heaven, if you would. If you're okay with doing that, lift your hand right now and just say, Lord, say it out loud. Lord, I receive your peace. I cast my cares upon you. I trust you, Lord, as my heavenly Father. I believe in you. With you, all things are possible. You, O Lord, will never leave me, will never forsake me. You'll be with me always. I trust you today. I receive your peace. Peace that passes understanding as my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's thank the Lord for peace today. Let's claim it and let's thank the Lord for it. Can we do that? Thank Him right now, right where you are, from your own heart, with your own words. Thank the Lord for His peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your peace that surpasses understanding today. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking into storms right now to bring calm and clarity. Thank you, Lord, that your love is prevailing even now over the devil's lies. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that means we can keep our composure even in the midst of a stormy world. Thank you, dear Lord. Now let's invite the prayer teams to come right now. And as we close the service this morning, if you have a prayer need that you'd like to give over to the Lord by agreeing with somebody in prayer, then come to our pastors, our prayer teams today. They're located in the top of the balcony there. They're located by the side walls here at the front. And you feel free to make your way to the prayer teams today for us to agree together in prayer for the Lord to touch you and to meet your need right where you are today. And now this is an appropriate blessing for the close of our service today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you, First Assembly family. Go in the blessing of